5:30. Linda? Linda Williams?
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, folks. That's a little bit high. I know. I don't know. I'm having problems with the audio and everything else. And, you know, great to be on the air on this gray, cold. I mean, folks, it was like 80 degrees yesterday in the city of Chicago where I'm broadcasting from. And now it's been a 30 or 40 temperature drop. It feels like it feels like winter, folks. And this is supposed to be spring. And this is just awful. It's just awful. I mean, we were out. I mean, we were enjoying ourselves yesterday out in the sunshine. I mean, we had shorts on, short sleeve shirts. I mean, we had the whole gamut. It felt like summer, folks, in the city of Chicago. It really did. This was yesterday, and everybody was out jogging. I mean, everybody's having fun. I mean, it was just nice yesterday. Just a great day weather-wise. Now it's cold, rainy, cloudy, it's gray, and somehow the abrupt change in the weather it messes with your body chemistry. At least I know it does mine, okay? And you become under the weather, you know, and that's something I'm feeling a little bit now, because I'm feeling almost just as gray and as the day is. Okay, let's get off the weather. I mean, it's something I can't change, so I cannot dwell on it. But anyway, I hope it's great where you are. I hope you're having some great weather, you know, so, and because we're having some lousy weather here. And I'm pretty sure in some other places the weather is even lousier. So I should probably thank my lucky stars. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm forgetting where I'm broadcasting from. I'm broadcasting straight out of Chicago. I'm in my studio. We're near the lake, as always. It's always cooler near the lake. Ooh, it's more like chilly near the lake. Anyway, it's beautiful over this way, over this in the Edgewater community, and I love it. I really do love it. I love being on the radio. I love my guests. I have some of the most smartest guests in the world, and this show is heard around the world, and I'm appreciative to that. And I want to thank everybody who's been on the show, who's been great. I want to thank everybody who's been giving their positive feedback to the show. And I want to thank even those people who have given negative feedback to the show. If you're going to give some negative feedback, try to give constructive free feedback, something I can use. Thank you. Thank you very much. Sound like Elvis. All right. Some people are still mourning the death of Prince. We're going to say a few things about him later on into the show. We can't really dwell on Prince forever. I mean, he was a super musician, but we have to move on in our lives, you know. So we'll say a few words about that. I mean, this will be the third show that I've mentioned Prince. It's really sad. It's really sad. And we have to move on, and we'll find out what really happened. But I think I have an idea what really happened to Prince. I think that the guy just was tired and exhausted, and he wasn't getting sleep. He wasn't getting any rest. So he got addicted to pain pills, trying to, you know, that's my theory. That's what I think anyway. And over time, at the age of 57, I mean, it just came back and it haunted him. All right, listening to George Wilder Jr. Show, I'm broadcasting live, as I said. Follow me on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on all over the place. And it is just a lousy day, folks. So Bear with me. Bear with me. All right, let's go to the phone. Let's see, I have a caller on the phone. Let's see what we got. Hello, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago, WTTY on the Internet Talk Radio.
This is Linda Williams holding. Yes.
Okay. I know you called. You called in. This is your second time, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you called in.
I don't know what happened. Yeah, we got cut off.
I tried to screen you. Maybe I hit the wrong button. Because I wanted you to, you know, kind of call in at 6:30.
I can do that.
Because usually around 6 o'clock, I'm trying to get everything revved up into the show. So when you come on, it'll be ready for you.
Right.
But
that's fine. I can do that.
You can do that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll talk to you a little later on then. Okay.
All right. Uh huh. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Linda Williams. She's going to call back into the show because I try to have guests on at least around 6:30 as the show progresses, because the show actually starts at 6 o'clock. But I'm trying to, when it starts at 6 o'clock, I want to try to prepare the guests to be on the show. A lot of guests do call in when the show first starts, and I try to tell guests when I book them for the show specifically, it's 6:30 p.m., not 6 o'clock. So to give me some time to rev up my audience, my listeners, into the fact that this person will be on the show and this person will have a lot to say about a lot of things. So we're gonna expect Miss or Mrs. Williams to be on the show a little later, around 6:30. She just made that. I mean, people make mistakes. I make them. Everybody makes them. So this thing happens. And she sounds like a very, very, very wonderful lady. And she's going to be talking about a lot of things. We're going to be talking about things involving music, Chi-Town, Chi-Lights. We're going to be talking about a lot of things that she's knowledgeable of. And that's going to be great. So you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Hopefully things won't screw up too bad. Like I said before, earlier folks into the show, it is a mess in Chicago. I mean, you really got to get used to the damn weather changing as much as it changes. It totally, totally is a mess today. But you know what? Like I said, you have to be blessed, because in a lot of places is a lot worse. There's earthquakes all over the world. There's twisters, hurricanes. People are dying. Buildings are collapsing on top of good people. Things are happening. Domestic violence. So you have to really, really, you know, say to yourself, this type of weather, you know, is not as bad as some things that people are going through around the world. And it is a mess. Okay, so this is a Super Tuesday, folks, as you probably know. Donald Trump is poised to win all 5 states. Bernie Sanders hoping to win at least 2 before he decides to get out. And I think, you know, it's just a matter of time when Donald Trump will be the president. At least he will be the nominee, because this guy is just running away with it. And his rivals, Cruz and Kasich, they're trying to gang up on him and make him look bad and take votes from him. All that they're doing is just adding, fuel to the fire. All they're doing is just making Donald Trump stronger by trying to weaken him. They're making him stronger. And so, you know, it's just awful the way they're trying to do. Hillary Clinton, you know, I'm a Bernie Sanders kind of a guy, but Bernie doesn't seem like he's going to make it. Bernie made a statement, and I talked about this yesterday on the show. He made a statement called "Poor people do not vote." I thought that was a slip of the lip. I thought that was a graph that he made, but you know, because I explained that it's not only poor people who do not vote, but it's just people in general who do not vote. So you just cannot just place a certain people in a certain category. That is not totally true. you know. So I and he said a few other things that I don't like. And I think the reason why Bernie is saying a lot of things that are controversy is because controversial is because he's losing. He's losing. I mean, when he lost New York, I mean, he lost it big. Hillary won in a landslide, and suddenly, you know, he's saying the poor people don't vote. You know, and I take exception to that. You know, I do. And, you know, he's not going to win. I don't think he's going to beat Hillary. I think she's has too much momentum, but he's hanging in there just because of his pride, probably. And I want to say, I said this yesterday, I want to say it today, once Bernie Sanders is out of the race, we have to get behind Hillary Clinton. We're going to have to, but there's so many voters who are voting for people who they don't really want to vote for, but they're holding their nose and they're voting for these people anyway. And I'll say the same thing with Hillary Clinton. You may not want to vote for her. I may not want to vote for her, but we have to get behind a Democratic candidate for the president of the United States, or we will have a president, Donald Trump. And we don't want that. I think it's a shame that the Republican establishment is treating Donald Trump the way they are treating him. They totally don't want this man. This is not a Democratic fight. This is a Republican fight. This is a Republican fight within the party. And they are trashing the hell out of Trump. I mean, I don't think Trump is that bad. I don't think he's really that bad. I would never vote for him. I would never support him. But I would rather see Trump president than to see Kasich president or to see Ted Cruz president. And quite a few Democrats have said that. They have said that. Trump may be a bully, a blowhard. He may be an asshole. But I think if he's president of the United States, I think he probably wind up being one of the greatest presidents the United States ever had. Seriously. Seriously. But don't get me wrong. I'm not supporting him. I'm not saying go out and vote for him. I'm basically saying vote for who you want to vote for. But vote. But vote. Okay? Hopefully it's a Democrat. Hopefully he's a Democrat, because let's say if Trump does get into the White House, let's say if he is voted in, he's going to have a lot of trouble getting things done unless he uses his executive powers. He's going to have a lot of trouble. He's going to have a lot of trouble with world leaders because a lot of people don't like him already. Trump is disliked around the world. They think he's a buffoon. He is. They think he's a bully. He is. They think he doesn't know much. He doesn't. But, however, his supporters love him. They're the ones who are pushing him over the top. Nobody's pushing him over the top, but a lot of voters. You can call them crazy, stupid, dumb, ignorant. It doesn't matter. They are pushing him over the top. And they may just push him into the White House. You know, but I don't like the fact that Donald Trump's own party is trying to trash him. And he knows it. He knows it more than you do. He knows this more than I do. So I'm wondering, if he becomes president of the United States, and God forbid, but if he becomes president of the United States, will he retaliate against those in his own party who literally and figuratively and verbally trashed him in the media? That's my thinking. I'm wondering, wow, what's going on? It's a lot of things that's going on in the world. And this is interesting, folks. This is totally interesting. And I want to, if you're out there and you're not voting, I mean, you have to realize something. Republican governors around the United States in a lot of these, I think we got about 31 Republican governors, and most of them, if not all of them, are suppressing or have tried to suppress your vote, making it harder for you to vote or making it so that you cannot vote at all. This is a big problem, because it's true. One of the reasons why the Republicans are suppressing the vote because they know that Democrats and independents, they have power. They can keep every Republican out of office if they get up off their asses and go to the polls. The Republicans know this. This is why they try to suppress the vote. They know that the majority of the people in the United States, in America, are Democrats or progressives or liberals. Because everybody is not rich. Only 1% of Americans are rich. It may have gone up from there or either down, but basically 1% of Americans are rich. 99% of the Americans are not rich. They're working people. Whether they're working poor, middle class, they're working people. Whether they're living in shelters, they're working people. And they vote. They have the power to vote. And a lot of people do not vote. That's one of the reasons why we have Bruce Rauner, Governor Bruce Rauner, another Republican. Republicans are just wreaking havoc on these states. And one of the reasons they are doing it, because they want to stay in power forever. It's, someone said it's too much money in politics, and it really is. It truly is. Because a lot of these Republican governors are buying up politicians. They're buying Senate seats. They're buying, you know, seats in the representative column. They're buying politicians. They're bought and paid for by Wall Street, special interests, lobbyists. I mean, these people, and they're doing the work of the lobbyists and the special interests and not the work of the people who put their asses in office. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. It is a gray, dull, rainy, miserable day, but we're going to try to get through it, folks. I'll be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Five people were shot in Chicago. I mean, the violence in Chicago, I've talked about this yesterday. And I wanted to elaborate on it a little bit more. Five people were sitting on their porch on the south side of Chicago, I believe in the Inglewood community, were shot just sitting on their porch. I mean, this happens all the time. Somebody drive up, I mean, you know, and just start unloading bullets on innocent people and children. And this past weekend, I believe there's been about 38 people shot. And I believe about five people actually died fatally, fatally shot. And we have a new superintendent in the city of Chicago. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about violence in the city of Chicago, but this violence can be happening anywhere. It's just that we have a new superintendent. We fired one because he didn't get the job done. It seems, in my estimation, it seems like this guy, Eddie Johnson, is not getting the job done, because a policeman's job is to prevent, curtail, and to stop gun violence. And, you know, we had a gun buyback program not too long ago. And, you know, every now and then, the Chicago Police superintendent, they've been having this gun buyback thing for a long time. People turn in their guns and, you know, they get a $100 gift certificate or something to that effect. I mean, when they turn in guns, they're turning in all kinds of guns, folks, not just rifles and handguns. They're turning in BB guns. They're turning in pellet guns, any kind of a weapon that's related to looking as if it's a gun. They're turning them in. But my thing is, the more guns that they turn in, you know, that's not even hitting 1 inch of what's out here. Because a person can turn in a gun and just get it for $100, but that same person that's turning in that gun, he has three more guns at home. So just because a person is turning in a gun doesn't mean that person is actually unarmed now, because that person turned in a gun. That person could have 10 guns and decided to sell one of them because they want to get something to drink or something, you know. And so I don't believe in those gun buyback programs, because a lot of people are probably turning in and selling the worst guns that they have, but keeping the good ones. Nobody's going to turn in all of their guns. They're going to hold on to something, because this is a violent, most people think this is a violent city, but this is not a violent city. This is a sports city. I mean, we got two of the greatest teams. We got, obviously, the Blackhawks, Chicago Blackhawks. They fizzled out in game 7, but we still have two of the winningest teams, baseball teams in America, I believe. And those teams are the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox. These teams are winning. A lot of us are saying, well, they're starting off winning at the beginning of the season, and they seem as though they can't really stop winning. But remember, they have over 100 games to play. You don't want them to come out swinging and winning every game just about, and then in the latter part of the season, they're losing every game. So we don't want that to happen. A lot of people feel, well, they're winning now, but they're going to be losing. You know, so stay positive. And try not to think of Chicago as a violent city. Think of it as a sports town. Think of it as Michael Jordan's venue, because we have a statue of Michael Jordan right outside of the United Center downtown in Chicago on Madison, and it's awesome. And I remember a few years ago, people used to think of Chicago. When they thought of Chicago, they thought of Al Capone. That's not, I mean, yeah, it happened, you know, but this is not a city. Nowhere near is this Al Capone city. I mean, he was just a thug and a crook. Actually, he's never been proven of anything except for tax evasion. That's it. He didn't go to trial for a murder or anything, or bootlegging or any of that. He went to jail for tax evasion. No, and there was no proof. There was no nothing linking him to any crime. Even the St. Valentine's Day massacre, I think that was in 1929. Nothing linking him to that. But a lot of people knew it was him. They didn't have any proof, but they knew it was him. All right, let's move right along. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. My guest is author. I'm assuming she's an author. Linda Williams. Yeah, she's an author. And commentary on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'll be right back, folks. Stay with me. Thanks for being here. All right.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
That was fun. That was fun. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, broadcasting straight out of Chicago. This is Tuesday, the 26th of April, okay? And Hillary, some saying it's going to be Hillary versus Trump. This is one of the primary nights, okay? And there's five states up to grab, including Pennsylvania. And Hillary and Trump, these guys are expecting to wipe the floor with their opponents, you know, in this thing. And that's fine. I do think that we do need two candidates going head to head with each other. And I actually think the others should drop out, especially I think Bernie should drop out if he doesn't win anything whatsoever. And it's projected that he will not, but who knows? I mean, he could upset Hillary in some state somewhere, and that will give him momentum to go on. However, it's going to be tough. And I'm pretty sure by 9 o'clock tonight, long after I'm off the air, I will get the results of this, and I will be on tomorrow to let you know what happened. If you don't already know, I'll still talk about it. And because that's what I do, is talk. Okay, we were talking about the violent weekend in Chicago, and I was talking about some things yesterday about the Chicago Police Department. If they can't, you know, get their act together and bring some of this violence down in the city, they should not be police officers. They should not be collecting a paycheck. I think those people who were shot on that porch step, on that porch, sitting on the porch, okay? They were just sitting on the porch, and some guy came by or drove up in a car and shot them. You know, all kids, children's babies, you know, some guy just came up, somebody, you know, who knows who it was, but they were shot. Okay. If the police officers had been patrolling and saturating the neighborhood and the area, this probably wouldn't have happened. We need police officers to saturate the neighborhood, keep those people safe. Because the bad guys know when the police are there, and the bad guys know when the police leave. So if the police patrolling the area and suddenly the bad guys are spying them and watching them, and you know, as soon as the police leave the neighborhood, the area, the community, the bad guys, they pounce. So there has to be a 24-hour presence in some of those violent neighborhoods. in order for this to go down. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for being with me, folks. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of your responses to the show. All right, let's go to the phones. All right, Linda, you're on the show. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much. It's an honor. It's been sitting here enjoying your show.
Okay, it's an honor having you call in. Believe me, believe
Thank
me. Okay,
you.
Tell the audience. No problem. Tell the audience. Give a little bit of your background and who you are and you know what you do and all that kind of stuff.
I'm Linda Williams. I'm the author of Whose Apple Is It Anyway? Empowering mm-hmm. Purpose to Achieve Your God-Ordained Destiny, and mm-hmm. Too True to Tell, Why What We Don't Say is Leading Us Down a Path of Stolen Vision. I have a background mm-hmm. in music. I have a master's mm-hmm. in social work. I'm working on my doctorate right now. My whole
Great.
Purpose is I call mm-hmm. myself your personal and professional empowerment strategist, taking
wow.
your ministry life and purpose to the next level. But there's been a long road coming here, though, and I'm just honored to be able to empower your audience.
That's fine. That's great. I mean, that's what we're looking for. And you know what? When I saw your email, and the first
mm-hmm.
thing I saw was the Shy Lights, and
yes,
I
sir.
Said, "Wow!"
Look,
I said,
that's my pride and joy.
I said, I got to have her on the show.
Yes,
because
I
myself was a big Shy Lights fan. I mean, they were out of the city of Chicago.
Wow.
I mean,
yes,
you had Marshall and the Shy Lights. You had Eugene Record.
Yep.
They were Chicago's
wow. finest. They were
yeah.
Chicago's finest. I mean, those
okay.
were the guys that were to Chicago music what Berry Gordy was to Detroit music. Those guys
mm-hmm.
were about the business, and Eugene is one of those unsung heroes, and I really wanted the opportunity to honor him.
Oh yes, Eugene. I mean, I was one of his biggest fans because I was even a bigger fan when he went solo.
Oh yeah. I think he had what, three mm-hmm. albums?
Yeah, about three, and
I
think I had the first one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Do you have the other two yet?
Not yet. I think I had the first one. And
one of those is hard to find. I forget which one it is. I bet you have the
mm-hmm.
Eugene record.
I can't even remember, but I do, because it was
mm-hmm.
so long ago. But I do know
mm-hmm.
I have his first solo record because I was such a Shy Lights fan that I knew that it was Eugene who was actually producing the Shy Lights songs, and he was the one who was writing them and singing them.
Yes.
There was no. Go ahead.
No, he's a powerhouse. That's the quiet genius, I call him, Eugenius, because I tell you, this guy had perfect pitch. He could sing in a whisper, perfect pitch. He would close himself up in his music room, and I think he had like an 8-track, and he
mm-hmm.
would play every instrument himself. He would sing every part himself and the lead to lay out the demo from that they went into the studio with. So he played multiple instruments. He had perfect pitch. He was a genius with respect to arranging music. And the dude just, I don't know that he even recognized the power of the gift that he had.
Oh yeah, he was a total talent. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Back in the day, you know, I mean, I guess when they first started out, the group was called Marshall and the Shy Lights. And
mm-hmm.
Marshall, I can't recall Marshall, he might have ever doing lead on a Shy Lights song.
I don't remember that he did, but
mm-hmm.
he was the businessman for the group.
Yeah.
And you know, Eugene, he was so, I don't know, I almost want to call him shy. He was so laid back and shy that, you know, he wasn't blowing his own horn. That dude eat, slept, and breathed music, and that was his main focus in life, music. And I don't know that he ever would be one to even fight for the spotlight. He'd take the spotlight if he had to, but his whole focus was his craft and doing it with excellence. I'm telling you, the guy was something else. Yeah, hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I'm waiting for you to say something. I was just saying.
Oh, okay.
He did it with excellence.
Yeah, you said he didn't care about taking the spotlight, but a lot of the time, a lot of the concerts that they've done together, he was always out there in front.
Yes,
he was out there with the microphone while they were in the background, he was out there, entertaining the audience as himself. Even when he left the Shy Lights a few years later, he returned to the Shy Lights.
That's when I met him.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I met him. He had just returned. They were working on the Hot on a Thing album when I wandered into Studio A, okay? See, I grew up in Backwoods, Michigan. I'm a Chicago girl, born there, but I was reared in Michigan, so I was off the music scene. And when I walked into that studio, I didn't know who those people were. I mean, he introduced himself. I introduced myself. I was Linda Butler back then. And I introduced myself, and he said, well, my name is Eugene Record, with that trademark smile of his. And I thought, wait a minute, is this guy off or what record? I had never heard of a record. And I know I looked confused. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, when I first heard it, I'm sorry for cutting you off, but when I first heard
it.
When I first heard his name was Record, I thought, Record? That's kind of coincidental.
Feel me? Yeah.
You know, I said,
Record?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but that was his,
exactly. Yeah, that's exactly
but that was his,
my thought.
That was his real name,
Yes, his real name, his father's name is Booker Record.
Okay.
And people used to call the house all the time, talk about, is this the Record Booker? Because his name was Booker Record. So that's his real name.
You know, I'm thinking that it was his, like, I'm thinking it was like his show name, but it was his real name.
Yes, his real name, but I didn't know that. I'm thinking this guy is off, or is he really into his craft or what? Because I was just, clueless. And it took me about 2 or 3 weeks of sitting in the studio to recognize, wait a minute, this is the Shy Lights.
See? Yeah.
And I wasn't even aware that he had left the Shy Lights. But when I think back over the history, I recognize that I came in on the scene right when he had returned to them. I think their first album after he returned, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, was Hot on a Thing, and that's what they were recording when I met them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He was just phenomenal. I can recall some of the songs, Have You Seen Her? No doubt. Oh, girl. I mean, that's a classic.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
That is
and
classic.
Do you remember when they performed that on TV? I think it was Flip Wilson's show, I think. I'm not sure.
Oh, they anywhere they went, they performed it. I think as a kid, I saw it on Soul Train. So I'm on Soul Train.
But I think that first performance, and see, they almost didn't do that song because back then, if I remember the story correctly, back then it was a little too long. You know, we had 2 minutes, 3 minutes max on a 45 back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought it was a little too long, and it was just a fluke that they performed it that night, and that thing took off like wildfire. It's still classic.
It sure is, because when Eugene Record did it, I believe he also done the song when he was a solo act. I'm not sure.
I don't know that the old girl he did it. He recorded several times, but have you seen her? I don't know whether he did or not.
Okay, but my thinking is that he wrote the songs, he produced them, so he had the right to do them, whether he was in the group or out of the group.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yeah,
and
he was
a presence. Yeah. And he just about wrote every one of his songs, and not just Old Girl and Have You Seen Her, but all the other ones, the earlier ones. I can't think of – I mean, he had that falsetto, and that was great.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And it was pure. And he could sing. That was just the high end of his register. He could go down lower as well. He had quite a range on him. And it, whatever range he sang in came with power. And he would sing it just like we breathe. You know, you hear him hit some of those notes, and it was just as easy as breathing for him. Now, he and Sonny Sanders wrote Soulful Strut. And you know the Shylights had that song, For God's Sake, We Gotta Get More Power to the People. I believe he wrote that one,
course.
Too.
Yeah, of course. I know that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a song back then, boy.
That was a slow ballad. I can't recall it, but Eugene Falsetto, it was way before Have You Seen Her, An Old Girl, but he was in the falsetto. And it was slow, and it was great, and I can't think of the name of it.
Stone Out of My Mind.
Yeah, that's one of them. I mean, they had so many.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed just about everything that they've done with Eugene being in the lead. You know, when Eugene left the group, for the first time, I followed Eugene and not the Shylights.
Oh, wow. I think a lot of people probably did because his sound and his writing style became their signature. See, when you got one guy that's doing most of the writing, that's your sound. That's your trademark.
Yeah.
And he would have taken that with him because it was all about his creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised to hear that you followed him.
Yeah, and I was thinking, was there any friction between him and that you know of between him and Marshall Thompson? Because Marshall was actually, I believe, he was the leader in the group, regardless of what.
I never heard of any friction between him and Marshall, but then I might not have been privy to something like that. I never really heard of any friction at all.
Probably not. Probably not. Hopefully not, because you said that Marshall was a businessman, so
he took care of the business side. He handled the bands and everything. Yep. Their bookings.
Are they still doing it?
The Shylights are still going hard,
okay.
And that's all to Marshall's credit, because I believe that after Eugene left that group in the 80s, he got born again and he left the group. I believe that the Shylights would have gone by the wayside had it not been for Marshall, and Marshall is still going hard with the Shylights. They've had several personnel changes. We lost Squirrel. You know, Fred passed away ages ago. He had a bass that would not quit. And let's see, we lost Marshall. Marshall is the last man standing, just like his book says. He wrote a book called Last Man Standing. And so it's been several personnel changes. A couple of years ago, the guy that had been really hanging in there as their lead singer passed away suddenly. And that was just before Marshall. Yeah, I think they were on a cruise. And the way I got the story, and I could be wrong, is they were on this cruise performing, and somebody came and told Marshall that the lead singer had passed. And right after that, Marshall had a major stroke that he's bouncing back from now. So we've lost all but Marshall.
I think I've heard that. And but you know what? We can lose artist after artist. We've got their music. I mean, you know, we've got their music. And like I said, I've got stuff right here by the Shylights. I've got solo stuff by Eugene Record because I love them. I love them. And I love old school music more so than I do the current stuff now.
Yes.
I mean,
it's
the stuff now.
Yes, sir.
I mean, if I'm gonna listen to music, any type of music, I'm going back to old school music. The day's music just does nothing for me.
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble with it myself. I like the substance of the lyrics. You know, they had substance to them, and you know,
and they
I
had
used
a
to
beat.
Write poetry. They had the groove going on. The middle of the road stuff, we call it M.O.R., was really grooving as well. But there was substance to that. And the first song I wrote for them was on the Bottoms Up album. Side B is called You Take the Cake. And that started out because I was writing poetry, just a poem.
Mm-hmm.
Eugene put all that orchestration around it and put it on the Bottoms Up album.
Wow.
It was amazing how he could hear all of that from just a doggone poem. Now, you can't tell me that's not genius. So what I did was one night after the studio, I asked Sonny Sanders, you know, what does it take to be a really good lyricist? And what he did was he said, hang around, let's go to your place after the session, and I'll show you. When we got there, he said, do you have any Smokey Robinson? So I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we put on some Smokey, and he with such patience, Sonny showed me how the lyrics fall in with the melody and how it all plays off one another. And I learned from that one night of Sonny Sanders taking that kind of time with me what it was to write the kind of music that you and I are talking about. It's about pure rhymes. It's about not just throwing out something out there where everybody can tell what the next word is. It's about how the melody and the lyric are just married so that they're just born together. And what Eugene used to do is he would sit up and put all these tracks together.
Yeah.
And he would throw them to me on cassette, and I would live with him for a while and then write the lyrics to him. So he was the music writer and arranger. There are a few things we did together, like stuff we did for the Dells and that are still in the can.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
then I got to the point where I was writing lyrics and melody. But he would do the whole orchestration and just throw me the orchestration, and I would just live with it, listen to it over and over again. And sometimes the words would almost come straight out the universe. And with what Sonny taught me, we wrote some pretty good stuff together.
Wow. And it's out there and it's available.
Well, the what's available is You Take the Cake. All you got to do is Google it. It'll be on YouTube. Hard Act to Follow.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the other one. You Take the Cake, Do What You Want, and Hard Act to Follow. And my name is on there, L. Francis Butler, because my last name was Butler at the time. Those are the three things they did. And Hard Act to Follow, I didn't think they ever recorded, but it was big overseas. Yeah. So those are the three that we did together before we stopped writing together.
So Eugene
my
record.
Pride and joy. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to look it up. Audience, you hear that? You Take the Cake by Linda F. Butler. And Eugene Record.
Right.
Oh, wow, that's great. I mean, that's got to be great. And you know what? Eugene Record, Eugene B. Record.
Yes.
Was also a Grammy winner.
Oh, yeah. Beyonce did that. They sampled one of his songs when she came out by herself, when she first went solo. That big song that she did, they sampled the whole beginning of one of Eugene's songs, and I don't remember what it was, with all that big fanfare, and she won a he won a Grammy for that. Yes, he did.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
That was shortly before he passed away, yeah.
And what did he pass away of?
He had cancer, and he had fought it for quite a while. You know, the whole true story of Eugene, his son, Brian Record, wrote a book called My Father in Lights. You can get it on Amazon.com, where he tells the whole story as he saw it, as he grew up as his son. Because there's a lot of things that are left out of his bio. You can go out there and read a million bios. Some of them erroneously said that he was born married to Barbara Acklin. He never married Barbara Acklin. And his first wife, Sandra, was the one that he wrote Have You Seen Her, an Old Girl, about. Brian gets all of that stuff straight in his bio, because she is sorely missing from the biographies that you see out there on Eugene.
Barbara Acklin was one of his co-writers.
It Takes Love to Make a Woman, I believe, was the one that he wrote with her, and that was a big hit for Barbara.
And he also wrote stuff for Jackie Wilson.
Yeah, oh, look, there's a whole slew of people he wrote for that nobody
okay.
knows about. Absolutely. Yes, he did.
Yeah, he was, and that's
prolific.
Why I don't, yeah, that's why I don't blame him for going out on his own. And do you, I mean, can you kind of guess or say why he would want to return to the Shy Lights when he was just so successful on his own?
Well, I don't know how successful he was on his own. See, what we don't get as the consumer of this music is that you can have a masterpiece, okay? And everybody that hears it will know it's a masterpiece. But if the whole chain, the whole system behind distribution and marketing is not in place, then you might not have the big success that it deserves. So I don't know what went on when he was over at Warner Brothers. I don't know if they were pushing it or marketing it right. And I really, frankly, never even talked to him about why he came back to the Shy Lights. But I've got to read this book by Bryant because I bet he tells the whole story.
Of course. It's probably a good read, a great read. And his name was Bryant Record. You probably can find it on Amazon.
My Father in Lights. L-I-T-E-S.
Okay, you are an author yourself, am I correct?
Yes.
Can you tell us something about your book?
Oh, man, I went through so much heck in my life, and it took me 7 years writing Whose Apple Is It Anyway? 7 years, my friend, okay?
And that's the name of it, Whose Apple Is It?
Yeah, Whose Apple Is It Anyway? Yep.
Okay.
And as I came through that healing, I recognized how I could leverage all the pain I'd been through in my life in order to help other people not make the same mistakes. So Whose Apple Is It Anyway is based on the premise that we can't control life. We can't control the cards we're dealt, but we can sure leverage those cards, and the way we play them really determines our outcome. So you have to deal with the cards you're dealt with, but it really walks people through how our purpose and our mission and everything that we are born to do gets caught up and entangled in the traumatic stuff that we go through. So for me, it was several rapes. I had domestic violence in my background, just making one bad mistake after another, and it completely twisted me out of who I was. So I walked through layer after layer of healing in that, and everybody that reads it really find some kind of nuggets in there that actually change the way they look at their past.
Yeah, so tell my audience, where can they find your book?
Whose Apple Is It Anyway? Amazon.com.
Okay.
Amazon.com. You've got the paperback, the hardback, and the ebook.
Okay, no problem. So what do you think about, I mean, everybody, Prince passed away a couple of days ago. Can you give us some thoughts on that?
I was so hurt. Okay.
Yeah.
There's so much about that man, the depth of that man, highly intelligent man who had hellacious beginnings, and he still leveraged his purpose in his music. It's just a sad thing to me that we're not finding out the depth of this magnificent man, another genius. And all of the things that he did in the community, what he gave. He was another Eugene on some level because he was about his music and what he did in the community and the things he did for other people were not – he didn't want you talking about him.
Exactly.
It's a sad loss. And, you know, before he passed and I found out all this about Prince, he had some good music, but I wasn't that into it. But I have learned to appreciate the man. Based on what I'm hearing about who he was, I cannot believe the loss we've endured in losing that man, and a young man at that.
Yeah, 57 years old. Linda, we've lost quite a few people. It's just a shame. It's just life is too short, and then we lose so many people, you start thinking about your own mortality. You know, it's just.
Yes. Yes, you get to the point where, okay, long as I'm reading these old bits, I'm not in them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, it makes you want to take every – look, this man apparently died intestate. He had no will. And he had just gotten back his entire music libraries, everything that he ever created, he just won that back. After years of fighting with the record companies, he got his own masters.
I was going to say he was in control of everything.
Yes. He was a businessman. You hear me? He was a businessman.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't that much into Prince either, but I did listen to his music. I did remember going to the theater to see Purple Rain. I love the song Purple Rain. I love the song When Doves Cry.
Yeah.
I still have those songs. Mm-hmm. And he will solely be missed. And he's got so many songs that he may have thousands of songs that have unreleased material that's going to
he
be
does.
Released soon.
He got them in a vault. Yeah, he got them in a vault. Yeah. He was just about in a year he was going to publish his memoirs. So I don't know if he actually finished writing them yet. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Linda W. Williams on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Is there anything you haven't said, Linda, that you would like to say?
Yeah, I just want to tell everybody that life is short, okay, and that everybody's got something that they're good at, and it comes easy to them. It's not just Eugene. It's not just Prince. I want you guys to make it count.
Okay, thanks. Would you like a link of this show so maybe you can put it on your website, blog, or
Absolutely.
Share it with you? No problem. I will probably get you that link later on tonight.
Okay. Look,
hey,
thank you so much.
Thanks for being on the show. You've been a bright star, and I would love to have you back someday.
Look, I'm going to hold you to that, my friend. Keep on doing what you're doing here.
Hey, keep on doing what you're doing.
Listening.
Talk. All
Will
right, talk
do,
to you
my
soon.
Friend. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
All right. That was Linda F. Williams on the George Wilder Jr. Show. She was great. She was marvelous. We were just reminiscing about old school music. And then at the end, we brought up Prince. And folks, that is a loss. Okay. All righty. We're going to take a break right here, folks. We will be right back. Stay with us. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Wow, that's always fun, folks. I guess I'm just being a little kid here, but that was always fun. And once again, I want to give a shout out to Linda Williams. She was wonderful. And we have to move on. Okay, so the primaries are heating up tonight. Okay, I'm not into it, but if you want to call in and say, George, you should be watching The Voice. 347-857-1762 is the number to my studio. And you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. You miss a show here, folks. You will miss a hell of a lot. Only listen to me. Only listen to George Wilder Jr. And you will not regret it. Okay, let's move right along. Let's see what we have here. I said yesterday that I wanted to do a show on domestic violence. I want to find people who are actually, because most of the guests that comes on the show, they always saying, well, they, at one point in time in their lives, they were involved in domestic violence. And I have this piece I want to present to you that sheds a light on domestic violence. I mean, you're getting it from the victims themselves. You're getting from, even when I listen to this, I get emotional. I mean, but getting emotional is just half of the quest. You have to find something to do about it. So we're going to do that maybe later on in today or maybe tomorrow on the show. Let's see. Yeah, we do have a guest tomorrow on the show, but you know. All right, live results. Trump, Clinton set to soar in the Northeast. Okay, I'm looking at Huffington Post. They said they are set to soar. That means they are set to win this thing. So no doubt about it, it looks like it's going to be Trump and Hillary going into the general election for November. And folks, we got to get behind Hillary. We got to get behind, even if we don't want to. I mean, Trump, because Trump is soaring. This guy could wind up president of the United States. And I know a lot of African Americans out there are supporting this guy. We'll support this guy. I mean, you know, I'm to the point where people can support whomever they want to, whomever they think is going to do a better job. I personally don't think Trump is going to do a good job because too many people around the world dislike him. And when you're disliked, it's hard to govern. It's hard to govern, especially when your own party is trying to trip you up. And this has been going on for a long time, whereas the Republican Party is trying to trip up Donald because they don't like Donald Trump. They don't like him. They don't think he'll make a good president. I mean, even one of the Koch brothers came out the other day and, hey, wow, I'd rather vote for Hillary. And he's been a staunch Republican supporter. I mean, financially, this guy, Koch, he's a billionaire. I mean, he's a billionaire, and he a billionaire Republican. And he's saying that he would rather vote for Hillary than to vote for Donald Trump. I mean, that is something. This guy was all over the airwaves saying that because he has supported Republican candidates all around America, especially Republican governors. He supported them. He's given them money. Most of those Republican governors around the country are puppets to this man, one of the Koch brothers. And he was on television the other day. I mean, he was saying that, hell no, I don't want to see Trump. I'd rather support and vote for Hillary Clinton. So so that's kind of telling you right there that a lot of Republicans who are fed up and don't want Donald Trump, don't like him, trying to trip him up, the establishment, they are either not going to vote or they're going to change their votes to Hillary Clinton. And that's good. Because a Republican will be in the White House. And I just read something where Hillary Clinton is saying that her entire cabinet, some parts of her cabinet, if not all, will be women. That's fine with me. I don't care. As long as you get the job done for Americans. But we have to remember that Hillary Clinton is bought and paid for. She gets her money from Wall Street. But you can't really, criticize Hillary Clinton too much, because if you're going to do that, then you got to criticize her supporters. I mean, they are the ones who are putting her over the top. There are so many things about Hillary Clinton that I do not like. There's so many things about her that I think is unfair. But she's a Democrat, at least she says she is. But, you know, I think she's smarter and be able to run the country better than Trump. I think she'll be able to deal with world leaders more effectively than Trump ever could, because a lot of the world leaders around the world, if I can say it, they don't like Trump. They don't. And they don't want to see a Trump presidency. Neither does Kasich. Neither does Ted Cruz. And these guys are trying to thump Trump. And I believe that it's fallen apart. I mean, their little scheme to try to oust Donald Trump has fallen apart. They've fallen on their face, because I do think if you're trying to play dirty tricks against Trump, then that's just going to make his support a lot stronger. These idiots, they didn't know that.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
All right, folks, it's 7:10 in Chicago, 7:10 p.m. As like I was saying at the beginning of the show, it is still dull, it's still cold, it's still raining, and everybody is saying, George, what? Where is spring? I could ask you the same question. Where is it? It is not here, folks. I mean, yesterday morning, it's just a reason why I'm harping on the weather here is it's like night and day in bright daytime. It's dull, it's gray. I mean, what can I say? You know, but it's a good day. Anytime you're above ground, it's a good day. It's a good day. But it's cold. Yesterday it was 80 degrees, folks. They saying it was 83 degrees. Today it's 43 degrees. That's a 40 degree difference in the change in the weather, folks, here in the city of Chicago. And I hope wherever you are, I hope the weather is a lot better, because it is screwed up here. It is screwed. All right, the smart quiz question. We have a smart quiz question for you, folks. Here we go. All right, it says, who does this U.S. senator represent? I know it's just a question that I ask that is posed to people just to try to make the show a little bit more interesting. So, you know, that's what it is.
It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George.
Okay, I'm going to hit it. Okay, it says, I think I just posed a question a second ago. It says, who does a U.S. senator represent? You guys can knock yourself out on that. It's a constitutional question, so you can always, you know, Google it and find out what the answer is, or, you know, if I fail to give it to you as by the end of the show, I'm pretty sure you'll find it out. So you just knock yourself out trying to answer it. It's totally easy, and you don't need a scholar in constitutional law to answer that question. It's totally elementary. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I was talking earlier about some of the crime that's going on in the city of Chicago. And I want to play this clip. I want you to listen to this clip.
Chicago was always a violent place, you know what I'm saying? As time go on, it just got more and more violent because the attitude, shit, changed to now everybody don't get no fuck. Don't nobody give a fuck, and with ain't no leaders out here, ain't nobody accountable for their actions. You can do what the fuck you want, basically, you know what I'm saying? So without no repercussions, without no leaders telling you sit your ass down or beating your ass for doing something out of order, you know what I'm saying? So niggas just do what the fuck they want to do.
Got you. You ready?
Rolling.
I'm from the South Side. I grew up, born, raised here. I've been shot like 30 times with this gangbanging shit. Everybody knows. Yes, the music is got a little bit to do with all the violence because you got to remember, this, all these guys that's making music now were gang members first. Before y'all even heard of them or whoever they is or whoever their name may be, they was gangbanging here. And this is how this city designed. You're going to be something, or you ain't going to be nothing.
They took all the gang chiefs away. They took the structure. When they took the structure away, man, we developed a systematic, I call it a systematic uproar, man. It's a systematic uproar, man. It's a systematic downfall, man. They put a glitch in our computer chip when they took all the gang chiefs. You know what I'm saying? Oh, they took the projects. They took the gang chiefs first. Then they took the projects. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, we're going to take their structure. Then we're going to put them out in the ghettos and let them kill themselves so we can go and clean them off the streets. And this shit ain't no movie, though. It's real life. We living this shit, man. It's Taliban, Al-Qaeda shit. It's going on over here. And we in war with each other, man. It's like, so, we don't give no fuck about nobody else.
I was caught at a gas station, as in what they call lacking, on 67 and Cottage Grove. Person ran up on my car, shot all up in the car, hit me 7 times on my stomach, my neck, my jaw, my hand, my back, almost hit like 2 inches away from my spine. Like, it was crazy. I was in the hospital for maybe a month, lost massive weight. I weighed like 90 pounds afterwards, like, had to recover therapy. Like, it was crazy, man. Like, it's hectic out here for real. Like, when I talk about Chicago, like, it's really like that here. Like, it's living proof.
My name is Valerie Kyles from Chicago, Illinois, outside our building at 5110 South King Drive. I was the mother of a son that was gunned down. I really can't comprehend why they're still happening, but something is missing for the young men. These kids have no hope. They don't care if they die, some of them. But you need to have a hope and teach your sons hope that they can live and be men, productive.
We pulled up on the scene and shit. We think we was going to jump out and shit, and we was going to beat their ass at first, you know what I'm saying? Like, we was going to start fighting, and then somebody would jump. I was going to get to shooting at a motherfucker, you feel me? But shit, before a motherfucker even get out the car, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers, all you just hear is just, you know what I'm saying? You hear it, pop, pop, pop. You know what I'm saying? They shoot the car up, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know what I'm saying? My homie rushed to the hospital, stopped at the light and shit, tied me up, you feel me, with a sweater, you feel me? And then, you know what I'm saying, my father walked in the hospital and blanked out, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I got popped in the head. Real shit, man. This shit is real out here, man. 15 years old. No flies in, bro. Feel me? This shit is deep, yo. You know what I'm saying?
Chicago is my phone. Y'all right, everybody's scared to come to that. Everybody's scared to come to Chicago. And, you know, there's a war zone in Chicago. Like, 10 years, I want to be big house. My family out the hood, ain't got to worry about nothing. Sleep good, and I ain't got to worry about nothing being shot at, none of that.
Growing up in Chicago, it was like good and bad. I had a lot of fun, but it's kind of dangerous having fun. First thing I remember is being arrested when I was a shorty. Like that changed when I became a part of the system and shit. You know what I'm saying? I was locked up. I think like four bags of crack. I was like 13. Feel me? So once I became a part of the system, it kind of fucked me up because it was like in and out after that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't got the privilege of having a mother in their life or their father in their life. Some people, mama crackhead, you feel me? Daddy might never not been there. You know what I'm saying? So as soon as that inside household situation go bad, that's when you become an adult, aside from what you're doing outside of that.
Good.
Idle time is the devil's playground. When you're doing something with your time, then you can survive. But when you're not doing nothing with your time and you just out here with these, and just every other thug, then you're going to get a thug lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? If you're on bullshit, bullshit happens. You think about it, you win this bullshit, bullshit happens. You know what I'm saying? No dead crows. You know? And that's all. You know?
Favorite memories growing up. Just you know what I'm saying, the old days when it used to be cool, like it'd be fun, like you just going kick it, hooping the shit with the guys and shit, like no game banging, none of that. Before motherfucker was on doing smoking weed and all that drinking shit. Like when it was fun, now it's like, you know, you gotta be on the shit, don't be too fun no more.
Yeah, man.
I'm Hustle Simmons. I'm from the west side of Chicago, went to school in the South Burbs. I'm a branding and marketing, I guess, guy. The Chicago neighborhoods nowadays is just like when you drive through them, you just see kids out there just trying to make it to the next day. You know what I'm saying? And they're not even really getting to enjoy Chicago. They just trying to survive. You know, I'm around the world. I'm working with LeBron, Rick Ross, Diddy, Jay-Z, all these big people. And I get a phone call that my brother got murdered. It just woke me up, and like no matter where you can live in the burbs, you can live in a penthouse downtown. If violence is gonna find you, it's gonna find you. So I really don't see it getting better. But I'm not gonna stop trying. I'm not gonna stop trying to talk to these kids, and I just hope other people in my position, you know what I'm saying, talk to these kids as well. And who knows?
Man, my age in Chicago was like being old. I'm 28 years old. You know what I'm saying? The life expectancy in the hood, you know what I'm saying, and statistically ain't that long. You know what I'm saying? So 25 might be old. You know what I'm saying? 21 might be old. If the casket's getting shorter and shorter nowadays, you know what I'm saying? What you doing out here in the streets can only lead to two places. Jail or 115th of Fairfield. That's Mount Hope Cemetery, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you just gotta watch what you're doing. You gotta be aware, you know what I'm saying? Watch what you're doing, stay aware, stay alive, you know what I'm saying?
My name is Cecilia Scott. My nephew's name was Donnell Jackson. October the 28th, 2012, he got gunned down on 69th in Houston. They robbed him, they took his diamond earrings, and they took his money. The police said they had a surveillance of his tape and stuff, but it's going on another doggone year. They ain't never found who did that. So I don't understand. He's one in no game. He might have shot dice and stuff like that, but he wasn't in no game, and he didn't deserve to die. They need to set a center up and let these kids go play basketball or get on a computer or do something.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our time. This is the talk of our time on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network. All right, folks, we've got about 5 minutes left into the show, 5 minutes and 15 seconds, something to that effect. Live results. Trump, Clinton set to soar in South, Northeast. Is that the Northeast? Okay. Okay, it says Sanders. Let's see. Sanders, I'm trying to read something. Sanders plays literally Trump card. Anyway, that clip was about violence in Chicago. I want to be one of those people who just don't sit at a microphone, behind a microphone, in a studio, and talk. I want to be one of those people who get up and do something and get some action, put some action behind my words. I want to be one of those people who help to stop and quell the violence in the city. This is, Chicago is a great city. I know when some people think of Chicago now, they think of a murdering town. They do. I mean, all over the world, you know, they think of Chicago. I don't want to live there. Not me. I don't understand why anybody lived there. It's a beautiful city, folks. Check out downtown Chicago and the north sides of the city. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. The only thing I hate about it is the high taxes and the rotten politicians. But besides that, literally, it's a gorgeous city. It's a great place to live if you can, you know, foot the changes in the weather. the abrupt changes in the weather, right? And it's something. I want to thank my guest again, Linda Williams, for being on the show. We're practically off the air, folks. Let's see if I can cue up this clip and just kind of let it take us all the way out. I will see you guys if I can. Okay. Yeah, my work and you're listening, you open. Okay, we're going to do this clip, this musical clip, on the way out as the show is ending, has ended. And I will see you guys back here tomorrow, same time, 6 o'clock, 6 to 7:30, 6 to 8, depends on, you know, what's going on. But we will sure enough be back here tomorrow. All right, join me tomorrow, folks. Bye-bye. Going out with this. That we